If I could choose something that everybody, you know, in this world must have, a tool or emotion or whatever you want to call it, would be empathy. I feel like there's not enough empathy, you know? Empathy is kind of like giving a fuck about others, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what's going on, qualifiers, listeners, guys and gals? This is M. Mauricio, your host. That's me. Empathy. I feel like, you know, those motherfuckers that don't put their turn signals, those people that cut people off, you know what I'm saying? Those people don't have no empathy. kidding, but not kidding. I feel like people now, I don't know what it is, but it's hard for people to put themselves in other people's shoes, you know? I think that's a superpower that I have, honestly. I gotta tell you that, because I cry too much, you know? I'm able to feel what others are feeling or whatnot. And is that something you can teach somebody? Is that something that someone can learn, you know? Or is that just you have it or you don't? Like common sense, you know? You have it or you don't. Because, you know, there's like, you know, you know some dumb motherfuckers when they're young and you're like, oh, I wonder if they're going to make it when they get old. And then you go about your life and you meet these old people that are also dumb motherfuckers, you know what I mean? So it's like, when do they learn? Do they never learn, or do they not, like, what is it, you know? But empathy, I feel like empathy is one thing that we should probably strive for, you know? Whenever you feel like, oh, I'm gonna say some fucked up shit, you know, just hold it in a little bit. Put yourself in their shoes. Like, why are they saying those things? Why would they feel that way? Why are they looking at me like that? Why are they, you know, put yourself in their shoes. Qualifiers, look, I have a tough, this is a tough episode. I mean, if you didn't see it already, the title, the shooter, killings. I'm pretty sure this episode's, I don't even know if, you know, if it's going to get many listens, just because on the title alone usually doesn't get a lot of traction if it has kills or whatnot, you know, but it's just the reality of it. There's a story there from the Monterey Park shooting that just happened. That's local to me. I pass Monterey Park all the time. It's insane. It's just, when I saw it, I had to really double check. Monterey Park here in California, Monterey Park. That's here from ABC7. That's a local news outlet here. And then Half Moon Bay, another mass shooting, 7 people dead. There's a story here on CNN about that. It's both shootings, modus unknown. There's a story from AP News, and it's El Chapo. He's trying to get some accommodations for his prison stay. Well, he's really, what he's trying to do, he's trying to go back to Mexico. He's not trying to stay out here in Colorado. It's too cold for him, he says. So, and also Al Jazeera. I have something from Al Jazeera. I haven't done Al Jazeera in a long time because they were letting me down for a while. But there's 8-year-old diamond heiress. So she was going to be the sole heiress of a diamond company of $61 million plus. And all of a sudden she decided, this 8-year-old child decided to become a monk. So that's here. Here on a, it's from Al, it's a tough one. I don't understand what's happening in this fucking universe. I just don't get it. Motive unknown in Monterey Park mass shooting that left 10 dead. Suspect had no criminal history. This one, qualifiers, is from ABC7. That's local news to here, LA, where I'm based at, and Monterey Park, where this shooting happened. By Irene Cruz. Authorities are still trying to determine a motive for the gunman who killed 10 people and injured 10 others at a Monterey Park dance studio. Slayings that left the community in shock. The suspect, 72-year-old Hugh Can Tran, was found dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound in a van in Torrance Sunday, the end of an hours-long manhunt for the shooter. According to law enforcement, the suspect had no criminal history that had been found. Investigators are looking into the possibility that domestic violence may have played a part in Saturday's mass shooting. The next day, law enforcement officials swarmed and entered the van linked to the suspect. After surrounding it for hours before going in, a person's body appeared to be slumped over the wheel and was later removed from the vehicle. At an evening news conference, Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna confirmed the body found was that of the suspected shooter. Authorities said Tran used that van to flee after he was prevented from attacking another dance hall in Alhambra, about 17 minutes after he opened fire at the Star Ballroom Dance Studio on West Garvey Avenue. At the Alhambra Ballroom, Tran walked in with a firearm and some individuals wrestled the firearm away, Luna said. A surveillance image obtained by Eyewitness News shows the moment a man inside the Lilai Ballroom confronted the suspect and disarmed him. Tran then fled the scene. Very little is known about Tran or his connection to the targeted community and dance halls. Public records show he once had addresses in Monterey Park and neighboring cities. But Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna said the motive remained unclear for the attack, which also wounded 10 people. Speaking at a Sunday evening news conference, Luna said all of the people killed appeared to be over 50 years old. No other suspects were at large, according to the sheriff. I still have questions in my mind, which is, what was the motive for the shooter? Did he have a mental illness? Was he a domestic violence abuser? How did he get the guns? And was it through legal means or not? Congresswoman Judy Chu said. Luna added that the suspect was carrying what he described as a semi-automatic pistol with an extended magazine, which the sheriff said he believed is illegal to have in California. A second handgun was discovered in the van where Tran was found dead. Monterey Park Police Chief Scott Wise said Sunday evening that within 3 minutes of receiving the call, just after 10 p.m., Saturday, officers arrived at the dance studio in Monterey Park. There, they found the carnage inside and people trying to flee through all the doors. When they came into the parking lot, it was chaos, Wise said. The first officers on the scene were some of my youngest officers, Monterey Park Police Chief Scott Wise said. They had only been on the street for a short period of time. Wise said the officers arrived at the scene that none of them had been prepared for, but didn't hesitate to go in. Luna said authorities were looking for that white van after witnesses reported seeing the suspect flee from Alhambra in such a vehicle. Sources tell ABC 7 the license plates on that van were stolen. LA County Sheriffs picked up that license plate in Alhambra. Using that license plate information, the Torrance Police Department pulled that van over around 10:20 a.m. Police heard a gunshot from inside the vehicle after the driver pulled into a parking lot. Police tactical units were then requested on the scene. So the sharing of information is what led Torrance Police Department to be able to do just good police work by actually spotting this van on their streets, said LA County Supervisor Janice Hahn. Law enforcement were seen converging on the suspect's mobile home in Hemet Sunday evening after serving a search warrant. Tran lived there for about a year, according to neighbors. Pat Roth says he was a dance instructor, but didn't know much else about him. He says he lived alone. He didn't strike me as having an angry bone in his body, but that's just seeing him coming and going, Roth said. So I don't know. It's a little unnerving. Meanwhile, 7 of the wounded people remain in the hospital Sunday night, Luna said. The sheriff said that the department usually doesn't disclose the names of hospitals where victims of violent crimes are being treated. But in this case, he said, a disturbing incident reinforces the decision to keep that information private. Somebody called one of the hospitals to say something along the lines of that they want to go and finish the job, Luna said. This is absolutely horrible. Please, these victims and survivors are dealing with so much, let's not traumatize them more. All families and victims impacted by the shooting are urged to go to Langley Senior Center at 400 West Emerson Avenue. There is a crisis response team, Luna said. 5 women and 5 men were among the deceased. Those victims have not been officially identified by authorities yet. But friends identified one of the people killed as dance instructor Ming Wei Ma. He was known for his patience and understanding. Friends say he gave his life trying to save others. Mr. Ma, who is very beloved and respected in the dance community, and he's been doing that for over 20 years, he was trying to stop the shooter and he passed away, friend Eric Shen said. The massacre in Monterey Park was the nation's fifth mass killing this month. It was also the deadliest attack since May 24th, when 21 people were killed in an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. The shooting happened in the heart of its downtown, where red lanterns decorated the streets for the Lunar New Year festivities. The celebration in Monterey Park is one of California's largest. 2 days of festivities, which have been attended by as many as 100,000 people in past years, were planned, but officials canceled Sunday's events following the shooting. And there you have it, guys and gals. That's ABC7 on the shooter. Real quick, I wanted to have this clip of the guy that actually stopped the shooter from shooting other people in the Alhambra location. Lai Lai Ballroom. I have a small little excerpt of him talking to somebody from the news about what he did. So let me see. Let me cue this up.
At that time, the first thought was I was going to die. This was it. Like, I definitely gonna, my life's going to end here. And then the shooter starts prepping his weapon. And something came over me. I had this realization that I needed to grab his weapon. I needed to take control of the situation.
Right.
Or else everybody would die, including me. And maybe the people outside also. So
what did you do? You came over here and...
Well, his attention was diverted to his weapon. Uh-huh. I think he was trying to prep it or change to firing mode or something, but he was fiddling with it a bit. So what I did was sidestep a bit, uh-huh, to have a clear path, and I just started running and lunged at him and grabbed the gun with both my hands.
Right here?
Yes, right here.
And then you eventually go out into the lobby?
Eventually, yes, we did have a struggle. He was trying to pull away into the lobby, so I had to follow him.
Right.
So there wasn't much distance between us, so he could shoot me or anybody else.
So you are struggling with him right here?
Yes. In that moment, I felt like I was going to shoot another person, that I might cause the death of another human being. It's a very scary thought to think about.
I can see you getting a little emotional when you think about it.
Yeah. At that moment, there were many people I was thinking about, especially when I was fighting. I was thinking about everybody, my family, my friends, what they would be feeling like if I didn't exist anymore, if I wasn't here. It was a very traumatic experience for me.
And there you go. I mean, that guy right there, he looks just like a regular guy you'd be waiting behind at the boba line, you know, or, you know, at the drive through for fucking In-N-Out, you know what I'm saying? Like, regular old dude, you know. But he was able to stop another. This shooter lived up in Hemet in some mobile home, some like hermit type dude. And so one of his neighbors said that he was like a dance instructor. So he did have a connection to the community. And maybe, you know, we'll find out, you know, in some time that he probably had some type of grudge against somebody in this dance community. I can't imagine the dance community being so big, you know. And so he committed that mass shooting, then drove 17 minutes away to Alhambra to commit another one, and then he was stopped. Parks his van somewhere in Torrance, and Torrance police, doing good police work, just looking around, out on the prowl, looking for that white van, found him. And fucking coward took himself out. I don't know what to say when it comes to these mass shootings, you know? The search for a motive is on after 7 killed in Northern California, the state's third mass shooting in 3 days. This one here is from CNN.com by Aya Elamrazi. Authorities are working to figure out why a 67-year-old man may have killed 7 people in a small coastal city near San Francisco. The third mass shooting to stun California in as many days, and one that left another Asian American community reeling. Just hours after the suspect in Monday's attacks in Half Moon Bay, Chun Li Sao, was taken into custody while parked at a sheriff's substation with a semi-automatic handgun in his vehicle. Someone else was killed and 7 people injured in a spray of bullets along a road in Oakland, the San Mateo Sheriff and Oakland Police said. Following the fatal shooting of 11 people by a 72-year-old gunman during Lunar New Year celebrations in Monterey Park, the slaughters pushed the state's tally of carnage of 17 to 19 dead in mass shootings in just 44 hours and contributed to 39 mass shootings clocked so far this year in Americans' gun violence scourge. California Governor Gavin Newsom had been at a hospital meeting victims of the Monterey Park carnage when he was pulled away to be briefed about another shooting, this time in Half Moon Bay, he said. Tragedy upon tragedy, Newsom tweeted. This kind of shooting is horrific. San Mateo County Sheriff Christina Corpus said Monday night as she detailed the shootings at 2 sites in the Half Moon Bay community of some 11,000. It's a tragedy that we hear about far too often, but today has hit home here in San Mateo County. Investigators were working with the district attorney to interview Sal of Half Moon Bay, who was cooperating with authorities after he was apprehended some 2 hours after gunfire was reported around 2:22 p.m., the sheriff said. What we do know is that some victims were Chinese, that the perpetrator was Chinese, and that this was an agricultural community. They were agricultural workers. Half Moon Bay Mayor Deborah Penrose told CNN this morning on Tuesday. One shooting unfolded at a mushroom farm and another near a trucking facility about 2 miles away, San Mateo County Board of Supervisors President Dan Pine said. Officers found 4 victims dead and 1 wounded at one site and 3 others dead at the other, Corpus said. Where the shooting began is still under investigation. The injured person was in critical condition at a hospital Monday night, Corpus said. The mushroom farm's owners had no past knowledge of the gunman or his motive, they said in a statement. We are shook and very eager to gain more information from the authorities and their investigations, Concord Farms said in the statement to CNN. Our hearts are with the victims, their families, and the Chinese American community, from Half Moon Bay to Monterey Park. His own city still dazed by the violence, the mayor of Monterey Park offered condolences to Half Moon Bay residents, saying the community is now on the long road to recovery. I know what is in store for them in the next few days, Mayor Henry Lowe said. The Half Moon community must unite in healing and support each other to address gun violence, San Mateo County Supervisor Ray Mueller said. There were farm workers affected tonight. There were children on the scene at the incidents. This is a truly heartbreaking tragedy in our community, Mueller said. Mueller spoke to the mental health toll the violence has unleashed in the community and urged people to seek help, especially as the city has been trying to recover from the impact of the recent deadly flooding that stretched across large swaths of the state. Please take advantage of the mental health crisis counseling that is available, he said. Adding anyone can reach out to the county's hotline. You are not alone. Half Moon Bay Vice Mayor Joaquin Jimenez also urged residents to seek mental health counseling. This is something that we get to watch on the news. Never think that it's gonna come and hit home, Jimenez said. Today, we are the news. Our community has been affected. And there you have it, qualifiers, guys and gals. That's CNN.com. That is another mass shooting that happened just days after the Monterey Park. And I just had to address them both together because it's here in my home state, you know, very close to the Monterey Park. I pass that city. I go through that city a lot. You know, this one's up north. This one's a little further out there, but there's so many things that are similar, but if you get down to the facts of both of the suspects, they're very different. And I really like at the end what the mayors were saying to seek mental health, to check out the mental health crisis line, you know, all those resources, you know, because I mean, these two shooters, you know, the Half Moon Bay and the Monterey Park. These guys were old guys, you know. So it's just, was it mental health? Was it revenge? What was it? You know, that's the both motives on both, you know, shootings are unknown, you know, as of now. And let me add, for the Monterey Park shooting, actually at the end, it was 11 dead at the end. Somebody passed away in the hospital. Out of those 10 injured, you know, and 10 dead, those 10 injured, one of them passed away. And so it's 11 dead at Monterey, and this Half Moon Bay of 7 people here in California. Mexican president says he'll consider El Chapo's request. This one here is from APnews.com. Mexico's president said Wednesday his government will consider a plea by imprisoned drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman to be returned to Mexico, presumably to serve out his sentence. Guzman, 64 years old, was sentenced to life behind bars in the United States for a drug conspiracy that spread murder and mayhem for more than 2 decades. Guzman has lived in poor conditions in prison since his 2019 conviction, said José Refugio Rodríguez, a Mexican lawyer who claims to represent him. Rodríguez told local media that Guzman hasn't had adequate access to sunlight, visits, good food, or medical care. The Mexican embassy in Washington said in its Twitter account that it had received an email from Rodríguez about the issue and had returned it over to Mexico's Foreign Relations Department. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said, "We will review it," adding, "You always have to keep the door open when it comes to human rights." The U.S. and Mexico have a prison transfer agreement that allows inmates convicted in one country to serve out their sentence in their home country under certain circumstances. But given Guzman's crimes, his sentence, and the risks he reportedly still poses, many doubt the agreement will apply in his case. And there you go. That's a short little article from AP News. So apparently El Chapo, and I know everybody's kind of, it's been on the news here and there, you know, that El Chapo is getting mistreated in jails and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's jail. You know what I'm saying? It's not Mexican jail like the one he was in where he can, you know, he has his own bed and TV and this and that. It's jail, bro. Like, it's going to be shitty. But I get it. He's not going anywhere, man. We're not gonna let this motherfucker go nowhere. We're keeping him here. He goes back to Mexico, he's gonna drill himself out. He's not even gonna make it to Mexico, I guarantee you. If we try to send him back, he's not even gonna make it to Mexico. He'll fucking disappear on the way from here to Mexico. So that's not happening. We're not letting this guy go. And we just got his son too. You kidding me? We're gonna get the whole family. And I think not so long ago, they were trying to get the wife too, which was kind of messed up, but yo, don't get me wrong. I like the Narcos Mexico edition just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta see it for what it is here. Okay? Like, you can't just be like, oh, man, but I feel sorry for him. No, man. Like, we let him go, he will escape. Period. That's it. You know what I'm saying? You know, with all the respect, you know, with all the respect, it is the facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, even, I guarantee you, if he gets to talk to his boys, you know, after a couple shots and a couple beers, and they're like, hey, man, you know your motherfucking ass is gonna try to escape again. Guarantee you he's gonna say yes. There's no way he's not gonna try to escape again. You kidding me, man? Come on. Eight-year-old Indian diamond heiress becomes Jane Monk. This one here, guys and gals, is from aljazeera.com. An 8-year-old girl in India who stood to inherit a multi-million dollar diamond fortune has instead been inducted as a nun to a strict religious order after renouncing worldly pleasures. The girl was, until this week, an heiress to Sanghvi and Sons jewelry business in the western city of Surat, known locally as Diamond City, for its prominence in the global gem trade. Her family are also members of the Jain faith, a small but ancient Indian religion that preaches nonviolence, strict vegetarianism, and love for all creatures, great and small. This week, she was feted in a 4-day ceremony to herald her new vocation, which at one point saw her ride in a carriage pulled by an elephant, according to the pictures shared on local media. On Wednesday, She arrived at a temple to trade her elaborate garments for a simple white cotton outfit after having all her hair removed. The girl was known among members of Surat's Jain community for her piousness even as a young child. According to an eyewitness to Wednesday's ceremony who spoke to AFP news agency on condition of anonymity, she has never watched television, movies, or gone to malls and restaurants, they said, adding that the girl had been a regular presence at temple ceremonies. The child is one of the youngest people to have taken the Diksha ceremony to abandon their material possessions and enter the Jain monkhood. Her parents said she had been eager to become a nun, according to local media. Jain families are sometimes said to encourage their children to enter the monkhood to enhance their relatives' social standing. Her family's business, founded in 1981, has a net worth of 5 billion rupees, $61 million, according to ICRA, an Indian credit rating agency. And there it is, guys and gals, that's aljazeera.com. An 8-year-old monk. That doesn't sound right to begin with, just that. And then knowing that she was going to be basically a fucking trust fund kid, you know what I'm saying? Like, have all the money in the world. And now that she's a monk, that money gets taken away by who? Who keeps the money? Where does the money go? That's the first thing, you know. So she was the last sole heir of the money. But now all of a sudden she's gonna be a monk. So the money goes away. Where's the money? Where's the money go? Where's the money go? That's really where this is all about. And also, come on. I'm sure the 8-year-old, you know, she, with her all knowing of life, right? She probably has, you know, she's had so many no, it's bad. This can't be right, right? Can an 8-year-old be a monk? Is that they can't? They have no decision making skills. I mean, their brain isn't fully developed until they're like at least 25, right? I mean, sometimes maybe 30. You know what I'm saying? But my goodness, this is all bad. Alrighty, qualifiers, listeners, guys and gals. Thank you so much. I really appreciate every listen. In about a week, I'll be running another marathon. This will be my second marathon. And I just feel like I have to let you guys know, because I let you guys know about the last one and it all went well. So I'm going to let you guys know again. Hey, I'm doing the Huntington Beach Marathon. It's 26.2 miles. Surf City Marathon is what it's called. And yeah, I'm planning to do it in 5 hours or less. Okay, that's my goal. Last time I did it in 5 hours was my first one. I don't see why I shouldn't be able to do this one in 5 hours or less. You know, I didn't stop training since the last one, which was in October. And this one is going to be in February. So I didn't stop training. I stopped training for like 2 weeks just to like recover. So my legs get back to normal somewhat. But honestly, I recovered pretty quickly. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm superhuman or anything, but I'm just really excited. I'm really excited about the marathon, and just really excited about kind of where life is going right now. It's a fucking roller coaster. You know, you never know when good things are gonna happen. Just the same way you never know when fucking shitty things are gonna happen. You know. So again, love you guys, and peace.